Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? It's that time again on a Wednesday evening at the 8 o'clock hour. This is the Blog Talk Radio Network. This is the Kay Thompson Live Show on the Blog Talk Radio Network. I'm the person that's known as the Sun, Citizen Payne, and you are?
I am Kay Thompson, Kay Thompson Live here. And we have a good show for you set up for you tonight, Eric. As a matter of fact, we're going to be talking to Mal Wolfo, and the title is The New Negro Removal Program. Is that something? So we're going to be talking to Mal Wolfo. So he's going to be calling in with a lot of information.
I guess he's going to let us know what that means,
yeah.
What that program means. Just a program note to everybody right now, we're going to be on for about the next 13 minutes. Then I'm going to reschedule for us to have our extra 45 minutes. We had a scheduling problem, so just got abbreviated now. Then we'll go in and the show will continue after a break to add some more time. You were talking about the news.
Yeah. Now,
I don't know.
This topic is the new Negro removal project.
So is that a book?
I don't know. I don't know.
Okay.
You know, when I talked to Mal, he gave me the title, and I said, what? I said, and then I told him, I said, don't tell me. You know, let's be talking about it on the show. So as soon as we will, now we will.
Okay, great.
In the meantime, you know, there's still hot news items with the same person who's in the White House. So there's a lot to talk about. And as soon as, you know, we get the other people on the show, then we can continue. You know, but a lot of things in the news. A whole lot of things in the news.
Yeah, so today, as everybody knows, it's okay. We're gonna take this off a speaker. Gonna ask you to put that to your ear, Ma. You're gonna put that phone to your ear so we can talk. And in today's news, you know, we have a lot of stuff going on. I just watched an interview with this guy Jerome Corsi, who is the one that is responsible for starting the birther movement. This is a guy who said that he's not going to lie, that Mueller is trying to catch him in a perjury trap. Some of you that follow the news a little bit closer, this guy is one, he said he's not going to get caught in a perjury trap. Fat white guy, white hair, liar. And he was on the Ari Melber show on MSNBC. I was watching it in an exclusive interview with this gentleman. And he talked about how, you know, Mueller and these people are trying to get him to lie. They call it a perjury trap. That's what the Trump and his band of criminals have been throwing around, a perjury trap. And, you know, perjury, as many of you might know, is that's when you lie on the stand, right? And you go to a court and of law and you lie. And so to say that someone is throwing out a lying trap to you, I would assume if you're a common sense person like myself, and a lot of these people who live in between the two coasts claim to be common sense people, I would assume that when someone says, oh, that's a lying trap, that the best way to get out of that trap would be not to lie.
You think?
So, you know, if you're not lying, then you don't have to worry about getting caught in that trap.
Here.
But here is another example of these type of men who just want to say and make up anything. And what I've been learning in this particular part of history that we've been going through during the last year or two is that a great many things, as I've learned in my adulthood, but certainly this year, that there are a great many things that America claims to be about, that America claims to represent, are not really true, right? We know that the false narrative of America, a country where people came to settle for freedom and were trying to get away from religious persecution, and one guy discovered the country who didn't really discover it. You know, this myth that's been perpetuated by people of a certain descent to try and build America. And so these many years later, in my opinion, you have these same type of individuals who get upset when they want to make up a narrative of the world that is just not real. And now, certainly in modern day era, people being called out for their lies and their falsehoods, and they're just making up stuff, right? And so that's what a lot of these people are upset about, that people actually have the nerve to speak about being oppressed, to speak about being murdered, to speak about receiving second-class citizenship. When you look at the recent race between the two senators in Mississippi, just the fact that people were speaking up and talking about this woman who made the comment of if someone invited her to a public hanging, she'd show up, and was a member of the Daughters of the Confederacy and tried to rename a place after one of the Confederate guys and went to a segregated high school. This shows you that despite all of the myth and despite all of the attempts to make themselves seem civilized and unbarbaric, I would suppose to say, that's all is just a lie, and it's a big lie. And I think this is Mr. Mao Wolfolk that we have here on the phone. Mr. Mao, is this you, sir?
Yes, sir. Good evening. How is everybody?
All right. How are you? How are you today?
I'm well.
Hello, Mao.
Hello, Kay. Preach on, Eric. Preach on.
No, I was just saying, you know, and maybe you want to chime in. We only have like 7 minutes here before I didn't schedule the right amount of time, so I'm going to have to reboot the show after this 7 minutes is up and set it up for the additional 45 minutes. But, you know, I'm sure that you've noticed that too, Mal, and I know that you have an opinion and I'm interested to hear it.
I'm sorry. Yeah, well, more than an opinion. I've been for a long time now. Excuse me. And if I haven't shared it on air before, I will now. There's a book called Black Spark, White Fire.
What is
Black
it again?
Spark, Black Spark, White Fire.
White Fire. Black Spark, White Fire. Okay. By whom?
And it's interestingly written very well with a vast bibliography by a European who essentially says in a book that's about 2 inches thick, you know what? Up until the discovery, the acquisition of gunpowder in Europe, every European historian assigned the development and introduction and the source of all the sciences to Africa. Within 50 years of gunpowder being invented, all of the historians in Europe all rewrote history and said Africa didn't make any contribution.
Mm-hmm.
The book chronicalizes the timeline. So from 1000 BC, you know, from Herodotus and before that, everybody was tipping their hat to Africa, Egypt, you know, up and down, Kushites, blah, 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 blah. As soon as gunpowder was invented, they rewrote the entire script. So what is
gunpowder? What does that mean?
That means you can kill other people in volume with fewer people. And therefore, you can do that. You can run in and burn their libraries, like Timbuktu and some other places. You can destroy their history. And you know, kind of where we are now on another level, not to be melodramatic, you keep people's history away from them for a generation, and they don't know who they are because, as far as they know, they are nobody. And yet,
so you're saying the advent of gunpowder, let me just see if I could follow the thinking here, because I'm not following it as clearly, and I can imagine some other people listening might not. You're saying the advent of gunpowder allowed them, the Europeans, to have the wherewithal to murder off and kill off people who didn't agree with them, or
right,
what is
right to make war on folks where fewer people could combat many more, gunpowder,
mm-hmm.
cannons, all of that. So
oh,
no
so that allowed them just to.
Do what they did.
Mm-hmm. I see.
Going with guns and cannons when people were throwing rocks and throwing spears.
I see. That's interesting. But obviously, certainly, once you have that firepower, once you have a superior thing to subdue people, obviously. Do Do you think that currently is the situation now? I mean, if we look, it's ironic that you bring up this book, Mr. Mao, because as I watching the issue in Ferguson, right, and
right.
watching how they pulled out all of this armor that was meant for war, you know, if we
right.
all remember that a lot of
right.
these. A lot of the armory and a lot of the military equipment that was surplus was sold to a lot of the police departments in the country. And so Ferguson being
right.
one of them, having Bearcats and pretty much tanks and stuff to bring out in civil unrest, and even experts, military experts, will tell you that's not to be used on your homeland against your own citizens. Those things are to be used
right.
in war against your enemy. And so I thought at that time that, you know, you can't have a real revolution, at least a violent one, not certainly at least with the violent one with minorities or a minority of the population, because the majority of population, who numerically is becoming smaller, but they have the firepower that neutralizes the many, right? Obviously in South Africa, which is how you had a smaller minority white population able to control millions of black people. They had superior firepower. And that
right.
kind of pretty much breaks it down to, you know, that pretty much breaks it down, right? I mean, how many people do we have in this fight?
But I have
yeah.
a question, you know. You're saying black spark, white fire. Now, you've read the book, right?
Oh, yeah. Read it. Bent pages
what
online.
Do you,
reread
what
it.
Do you say, Mal? What do you say that book is about? Interpret it for us.
Well, it's essentially about the need to do a couple of things. First of all, to concentrate economies for, you know, economic and political stability.
Uh-huh.
And also to be very active in trade with other communities. So the one is aware of other developments around the world. You know, you can't segregate yourself and keep up, because you'll just be out of sync with whatever the evolution is. It says the world is the world economy, and the world was the world economy then, you know, a couple thousand years ago, and they'll mention it in the book. You know, there was an entity, a group, a treaty, if you call it, called the Pax Egyptica, that coordinated several of the societies, you know, BC in trade partnerships and that kind of thing. So
okay, Mr. Mao, put a pin in it right now, because we've got about 90 seconds, as I said at the top of the show. And Byron, your mic is hot. I opened your mic up, Byron. I see that you're on the line, but you probably didn't know. I'm going to have to – I only set the show up for 15 minutes tonight. I didn't look at the time. So what I will have to do is shut down for a second, reschedule the time, and then we're going to call back in like about 2 seconds, just so I can add some more time for us. All right?
Sure.
So,
oh, no problem.
So we just want, yeah, you guys should call back in about 3 minutes when I can
okay.
reschedule this and reset this up. All right? And we
all
want
right,
everybody
great.
Else
Thank
to
you.
Okay, and we want everybody else to stay on the line, call us back, and if you're listening to the show online or listening through your phone, just bear with us for just about 2-3 minutes, and I will be able to add us some more time so we can get further into this discussion that's getting ready to be real hot. So we'll talk to you on the other side of this commercial break, we can call it, and
all right.
we'll be right back. All right.
All right.
Talk to you guys in a minute. Bye-bye.
I'm going to let you set that up.